Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to yet another 3TFM Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. We've got a very special programme tonight. We're going to interview the Reverend Dorothy Granger, who's just been ordained and inducted to the charge of Barony St John's Church in Ardrossan. So it's very nice to have you in the studio with us tonight, Dorothy. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And I remember your induction very well. There's a tradition, you see, all the ministers go and shake hands with the new minister during the service. But we don't always get as many hugs and kisses as we got that night. So it was quite a welcome for all of us.
Started a trend, maybe.
Maybe. So also, I don't know, has the Barony Church had a lady minister before?
No, I'm the first woman minister to the Barony Church, yes. Yeah,
so it is the start of a revolution then.
It is indeed, yes. Yeah.
So how are you getting on? Is it 3 weeks now we've been at it?
Yes, 3 weeks and counting. Uh-huh. Yes, it doesn't seem possible really. It's gone in very, very quickly.
You've had about 3 funerals already, I think.
Yes, I have, yes.
So you're settling in gradually?
I am, yes. At the moment I'm still commuting from my home in Barassi while the manse is being prepared for habitation, but I'm really looking forward to moving up to Ardrossan in a few months' time. Yeah. And actually living here too.
So I'll ask you right away, the questions everybody asks about the new minister. Are you married?
Yes, I am. I've been married to Dave for 24, nearly 25 years. We met at university down in Loughborough, and we've been up in Scotland for most of those 24 years. And I've got 3 children, Katie who's 17, Ross who's nearly 16, and Rachel who's nearly 13.
Well, the congregation is growing already.
Absolutely.
How did the teenagers feel about Mum becoming a minister?
To begin with, well, they were younger when I started training. They kind of took it in their stride, but I think every so often now, especially my son, thinks it's maybe a slightly embarrassing thing for his mum to do. But on the whole, they've been absolutely fantastic. They just accept it, and they're very, very supportive and encouraging. And they tease the life out of me, so there's no chance of my feet not staying firmly on the ground all the time.
Mm. And Dave's quite reconciled to his
he has,
minister's
yes.
wife's husband.
I think so, yes. He's kind of got used to it now, but again, he is very, very supportive too. He had a Methodist upbringing, so the Church of Scotland's not too far out of his comfort zone. Mm. So, no, my family have been absolutely marvellous. I couldn't do this without their support and their encouragement and their backup.
And then the question everybody asks of a minister, male or female, how come you're a minister?
How come I'm a minister? That's a very good question. I think probably for most people who go into ministry, there is a time in their life where they do feel God's hand upon them and they do sense something of a call from God into ministry. For me, when I joined the Church of Scotland about 10 years ago, and I knew that I was still looking for something in my Christian life. I'd been a Christian since the age of 15, and I think the U2 track describes that quite well. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Even after many years in the church, I had this feeling that God wanted me to do something else. But at that point, I wasn't at all sure what that something else would be. And I never in my wildest dreams thought it would be ministry in the Church of Scotland.
I should say that I've asked Dorothy to pick all the music tonight. So her first track is U2, Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
Thank you.
So let's go back to the beginning, Dorothy, and get a wee feel for your life story. So
okay.
Where were you born?
I was born in Edinburgh in 1961, and I grew up in Balerno mostly. The earliest part of my life was spent in Castorfin, but then I grew up in Balerno and I lived there until I left home to go to university for the first time.
You're jumping a bit quick there. Tell me a bit more about your early days and your background.
My early days and my background. I was the eldest of four children. My dad ran a sub post office and my mum was a housewife when she wasn't working in a library. I've got two brothers and a sister, all of whom are younger than me. I went to Balerno Primary School, then Dean Park Primary School, and to Curry High School just along the road. I don't know, is there anything else you want to know about my background?
Well, I thought you might mention about your dad being sort of famous.
My dad being sort of famous. My dad is a tennis umpire. My mum and dad, well, I grew up in a very sports mad family, and my mum and dad are passionate about tennis.
And your dad and was an umpire.
My dad was an umpire at Wimbledon until he retired a couple of years ago at the age of 70. And he still does umpire tennis tournaments in and around the west of Scotland, mainly sort of youth, and he does ones with disability groups as well. So he's very involved in the tennis and umpiring scene. He's passionate about it.
He didn't umpire John McEnroe by any chance?
He has, yes, he has, and Martina Navratilova. In fact, she had to tell him how to sound out her name. And that was at Craig Lockhart before she was famous.
Very good. And what about your church background?
My family have a Church of Scotland background. They were members at St Ninian's Parish Church in Castorfin. Where
I was actually an assistant minister in St Ninian's in Castorfin.
Well, I was baptised at St Ninian's in Castorfin, but when we moved to Balerno, I'm sorry to say that the parish church in Balerno at that time was not a very active place to be, and abiding memories of it are being cold and bored and sitting in an itchy coat under the beady eye of the minister. And it was the days when children were definitely seen and not heard in church, and the family gradually drifted away from church attendance at that time. So probably I stopped going to church when I was about 7 years old. But later on in my early teens, I had a friend whose family was very involved in the local Scottish Episcopal Church in Balerno. And eventually I allowed her to persuade me to go along and try out the youth group. And really, I suppose the rest is history. I got very involved in that church. There was a point at which I would say that I made a conscious decision to give my life to Jesus Christ in that church and to follow him after that. So I can pinpoint the start of my Christian life from my membership and activities at St Mungo's in Balerno. And as far as I know, it is still a very evangelical church with a very strong ministry in that area.
Well, we'll come back to hear more about that in a minute, but let's try your next track, which is In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving ceased, my light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of
So when you were a teenager, you sort of started going to this Episcopal church. You were quite involved through a friend.
Yes, that's right.
And pick it up from there. What happens after this?
What happens after that? I suppose that once I'd made a decision to give my life over to Jesus Christ, which is really coming to the understanding that it is in Christ alone that hope is found, I think a lot of other things about church began to fall into place for me, particularly reading the Bible and understanding some of the things that are being said in the Word of God. And I had a real passion for the Word of God as a teenager, for reading and learning and exploring different aspects of the Word and sharing it with other people. And as a teenager, I was a Sunday school teacher and I was quite involved in the youth groups in St Mungo's Episcopal Church. At the age of 19, I left Balerno and I went to university down in the Midlands, a university, Loughborough University. And while I was there, the 3 years I spent there studying to be a librarian, I was very involved in an evangelical Christian group who work among students called the Navigators. And again, their passion is to know Christ through his word and to make him known. And I was very involved with that group and with ministry among students on the campus, because Loughborough is very much a campus university. It's a small market town, so the students tend to live all very close and on top of one another in a campus environment.
So you also met your husband-to-be there?
I did. I met my husband-to-be there. I met him in halls of residence, and we were friends for quite a long time before we started going out. I think that took us both a little bit by surprise, but I've never regretted it. You'd have to ask him whether he's ever regretted it, but we're still together 24 years on and three children later.
And you graduated?
I did. I graduated with a BA degree, BA honours degree in library studies and history, which history was my other passion as well as a younger person.
And then you went to work as a librarian?
I did, yes. just to put you in the picture, when my husband graduated, which was a year after me, we moved back up to Scotland where we got married. We got married in St Mungo's in Balerno, and we set up home in New Mills in Ayrshire, the other far side of Kilmarnock. And my first job was in the medical library at Glasgow Royal Infirmary, where I worked for a couple of years as a librarian. But probably the bulk of my working life has been spent in information work. I started my working life just as computerisation was beginning to take off, so I kind of went out of the library book stamping side of it more into databases and doing information and research work for people. And I've worked for a variety of organisations in that kind of field over the years.
You were working for accountants and lawyers and town planners?
That's right, through an organisation called the Planning Exchange, which basically did background research and provided information, mainly in planning, development, and those kind of areas for lawyers and accountants, for any organisation, and also obviously local authorities who wanted research done on planning matters.
You were sort of Mrs. Google before they invented Google.
Well, I would say that's probably quite accurate. That's very much describes what an information officer did in the 80s and early 90s before the web really became much more populist and you had search engines and people could just do it themselves. Instead, you had a person who was your search engine and who knew their way around the databases, and they would go and search for the information for you, which is what I did. In the early 90s, I joined Strathclyde Regional Council about 18 months before reorganisation, and that was a slightly different angle for me. I was working for the social work department in charge of a team whose job was to provide public information services to social work clients and carers. It was just after community care legislation had come in, and then once the council disappeared, I came to North Ayrshire because by then we were living in Dalry. So I opted to work for North Ayrshire Council in a similar role in social services there. And that's where I was up until I left to become a minister.
Well, let's pause before we go into that change in your career. Let's hear the next track you've picked, which is The Power of Your Love.
Thank you.
I think I chose that song particularly, The Power of Your Love, because it's a song that means quite a lot to me in terms of my call to ministry, that through my life I had experienced the power of the love of God and also witnessed the power of that love in other people's lives and saw how it changed them. And I suppose I got to a point in my life where I thought maybe I just wasn't responding as I should be to God's love, which was always there and always constant. So in terms of my call, the Lord, I come to you, let me be changed, renewed, was a prayer that I prayed. And I think if you look at where I am now, the moral of that is be careful what you pray for, because God has a habit of answering prayers in very unexpected ways.
So a big change in your life, and you set off to Glasgow University.
That's right.
To study for a BD. And how did all that take you?
I think when I first went to university, I was absolutely terrified. I think the point at which I was accepted to train as a Church of Scotland minister, it was very, very scary, because it meant turning my life upside down and it meant doing things I'd never done before. I'd been to university before.
You must have been used to being in a library.
Yes, I was used to the library, but lots of other things about becoming and training to be a minister were well, well out of my comfort zone, and I was very nervous about going back to university and wondering whether the brain would still work.
Can I just ask you there, if it's not the book world that was the unusual bit, what was the unusual bit?
The things that were out of my comfort zone. Uh-huh. I suppose just the whole aspects of standing up and leading worship, of being in a pulpit or on a chancel preaching the word of God, those weren't things that I had done before I was accepted to train for ministry. And I remember feeling very inadequate at my first candidates conference when one of the speakers asked for a show of hands of people who'd preached before, and I was probably one of very, very few people in the room whose hand was not up. So I thought, oh, what have I let myself in for? Everyone knows so much more than me and is so much more experienced.
Yeah. So while you were studying, you also had to do practical church work.
That's right.
Can you tell us something about that side?
Yeah, while you're at university, you have two term time placements which run from harvest in October to Pentecost, roughly May-June time. And these are part-time placements with a church. And I did mine with Alloway Parish Church and with Belfield St Ninian's, linked with Shortleys in Kilmarnock. Also, we have to do a 10-week full-time summer placement during one of the summer vacations, and I did mine at the Ayrshire Hospice as part of the chaplaincy team with the Reverend Ian Stirling, who's the chaplain at the hospice.
Did you have any particular feelings over those attachments?
I was very nervous about each one of them, because they were at different stages in the training and they were all very different kind of placements. The hospice especially is much more hands-on, in-your-face, pastoral type stuff. But I think that the things I learned from all of them was that I didn't expect to enjoy them as much as I did. I really enjoyed them. My supervisors were wonderfully supportive, as were the congregations and the staff at the hospice. And I gained an awful lot from being in each of those environments. And I learned a huge amount about the grace of God and being sustained in the moment, having grace for the moment that you need to be there for somebody or to stand up and preach the word.
And then you became an assistant minister.
That's
full
right.
Time.
Yes. I suppose that takes us to the next song quite nicely, actually, the Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer, because my probationary period, which is the training that we do once we've left university and before we're given our own charges, was spent at Henderson Church in Kilmarnock with David Lacey. And one of the things that I really learnt during that year was the power of prayer, the power of prayer to sustain me, but also the power of prayer given to other people, with people, for people. So the Bon Jovi song seemed quite appropriate.
We'll be right back.
So you've done your BD and you've graduated, you've been an assistant and you're now ordained and inducted to the Barony St John's Church.
I am indeed.
And you've been there all of 3 weeks, so it's a good time to ask you, what's your first impressions of being a minister then?
That there is no end to the variety of activities that you can be involved in.
Including radio,
which I never expected, and having to give replies on behalf of the lassies at burn suppers and things like that. I think probably the thing that has struck me the most is the amount of work that there is to do, but just the overwhelming support that I have had from the members of Barony St John's Church. I mean, their welcome has been overwhelming and very touching, and I'm really looking forward to sharing in God's work with those people in Barony and in Ardross and wider. So,
have you got particular hopes and dreams, plans and schemes up your sleeve then?
Yes, I suppose I have. I came with a vision for ministry, but I suppose at the moment it's still quite a personal vision, based on proclaiming the Word of God and sharing the love of God. I mean, my priority as a minister of Word and Sacrament is first of all to proclaim the Word, and to do that on a Sunday, but to also do it in the way that I live and minister, and also to share the love of God with the people that I am there to serve and with the wider community. And I'm amazed already at the amount of work that this little band of people in Barony St John's manages to do, how they care and look after each other, and also the people out in the community that they're involved with. They really are a very hard-working, caring band who show abroad the love of God. And I suppose that's partly what attracted me, that my vision is about the Word and about the love of God, and how the love of God makes a difference in the lives of other people when they feel it and experience it for themselves.
Well, I'm afraid our time's running out, so I'd just like to thank you very much, Dorothy, for coming and sharing your thoughts and feelings. And we wish you all God's richest blessings in your ministry ahead, and we'll watch you with interest. Your last song that you've picked is U2, Windows in the Sky. So I'll leave you with U2, and I'll welcome you all back next week here on 3TFM.
When there's none.